Thank you all for joining me today on Preemies All Grown Up. I know it has been quite some time since I have uploaded anything, and that mainly is due to the virus that is ravaging the entire nation and subsequently the world. My job has changed a lot since COVID has started, and also my eye issues have, on one hand, gotten better, and on the other, they have gotten a lot worse. So today, what I'd really like to talk about actually is retinal detachments, since that has been such a large portion of my life for the past couple of years. The retina of the eye is, of course, the cell-rich portion of the back of the eye that lets us see, and what focuses the light and shows us what we are viewing in front of us, although our brain does flip an upside-down picture right side up. So a retinal detachment can definitely be an emergency surgery situation, and one of the ways that you can tell whether or not you are experiencing a retinal detachment is that it could start to show up as a curtain going over your vision of like little spots, or it could be a more solid thing. And also, it could be that the retina has had a hemorrhage or a tear, and that blood is now seeping into the eye proper on the inside, and that would cause disturbed visions and also cause your vision to look cloudy, murky. You would know that something is just not right. I can actually tell you the moment that I had my retinal detachment. It was a Sunday evening while I was at home, and we had just had some Arby's for dinner, and I was sitting on the couch and I just wasn't really feeling that great. Kind of nauseous, but I thought, hey, maybe I just, the sandwich wasn't that great or something like that. Sorry, Arby's. But then I vomited. I vomited really hard. And when that happened, my entire vision actually went black. But only for a moment. My vision returned to me fairly quickly after that happened, so I didn't really think much of it at the time. And from what my doctors tell me, I possibly had my retinal detachment at least 2 or 3 months before I actually got it properly treated. And that was partially my own doing, unfortunately, because at the company where I work, if you don't have time to take off, you don't take time. Or at least that was my manager's theory at the time. And I had a trip to Las Vegas coming up that was a girls' trip with my partner and our best friend at the time. And I didn't want to miss out on that. I only had enough tap time away pay, to take those few days off. Because for us, you only accrue about 6 hours of tap time per paycheck. So somewhere around 21 days or something like that per year. So, those things are precious. And I had already paid for the tickets and the hotel. So I did not want to miss out on this opportunity to spend time with my partner, my friend, and a few other friends that were meeting up with us at the Vegas trip. So I definitely did notice that my vision, I thought it had just become cloudy. And a part that really showed me that something was wrong with my vision is I was walking out of my office and then I waved at somebody that was far down the hallway from me. I thought it was one of my coworkers, but it was actually one of the doctors. And I was like, oh my God, he thinks I'm crazy. So actually, I did not go get my eye checked out until we had went to the airport. And I was already in Vegas. Before I left, I had told my husband that, there's something wrong. I know there's something wrong with my vision and I'm scared of it, but I can't say no to this trip. Because if I didn't go, then we couldn't check into our hotel. And that was not going to be conducive to the other two people who were going on this trip having somewhere to stay. So I went ahead and I got on the plane and I headed to Vegas. I didn't really think anything of it until I woke up after we had gotten to Vegas and my partner and our friend went out to grab us some breakfast. And then I started to just see around the edges of my vision that it had turned kind of black and that curtain was starting to happen on the left side of the bottom of my vision. So the top of my retina was detaching. And I got on the phone immediately with my husband and I said, I was right. Something is wrong. I need a list of doctors who take my insurance in this state and city. And thankfully, while I was attempting to get a few things collected, like my driver's license, insurance card, photo ID, my husband called the insurance company and had them actually email me a list of physicians in the area that would take my insurance. And at first, they said, okay, we're going to send you to a regular eye doctor. So, me and my partner and our friend, because she joined us for this entire adventure. Unfortunately, we don't talk to her now, but that's a story for another day, I guess. But we went to the first doctor's appointment, and the physician looked at my eye and he said, there's something wrong, but I can't quite tell, or I don't want to say that it is this issue. So he said, I'm going to call a couple of retinal specialists and I want you to go over there like you're going to be seen today. And I said, okay. At the time, they didn't really tell me that this was something that I should worry about. Like, they didn't make it seem urgent. But when they said, oh, yeah, you have an appointment with a retinal specialist at 2:30. I said, oh, okay, we will get there. And for this entire trip, we Ubered everywhere. And, we really actually met some very nice people while doing this. And the one Uber driver that was actually very nice, we made sure that he was the one to take me and pick me up from the hospital when I actually had the surgery. So, jump back. I'm actually going to the retinal specialist now. And I don't know if you guys have ever had a retinal exam, but it can usually go one of two ways. It's the regular retinal exam when the doctor is just looking at your eye like he normally would. But this guy actually came at me with one of the sharp implements, it kind of they push your eye this way and that way to see if your retina has detached. And he's like, oh, yeah, we have a problem. And then he said, have you ever had any issues with your eye before? And I said, well, I do have retinopathy of prematurity. And I know I am very nearsighted. And those are two things that I know I will eventually have later eye issues in my life. I don't expect to have any right now, but what is going on? And he said, yes, you have had a retinal detachment, and since this is your one eye, this is definitely a issue that we need to get you in for surgery as fast as we can. And he did take a ultrasound of my eye, which that felt kind of weird. The pressure of the wand on the top of my eye was a strange sensation. And then I saw the picture of my actual eye, and the entire upper right portion, like the back of my eye on top, had pretty much sagged down to a U shape in the ultrasound picture. And I just started to cry. And at the time, my partner was with me. I was having more issues seeing, of course, by then. And I went to the restroom, and my friend talked to the physician, and it was determined that pretty much, I could go home and sleep, or well, back to the hotel room and sleep, because he did not feel that his A team was available for surgery right now. And he said usually the type of retinal detachment that I had, which was a traction, and I will go over the three types of retinal detachment in just a minute here, but he said usually these do not progress quickly, so I would not think that it would be extremely dangerous for you to go home and to sleep, so that then I knew that the best team of physicians was available to do your surgery. And I said, okay, as long as this is the best situation that I could be in, I did ask, like, how am I gonna get home? And he said, well, depending on how bad the retinal detachment is, you never know until you get to the actual surgery. It depends. What we could do is usually ones that are not that bad are fixed with a long-acting gas that dissipates over time, but that would leave me stuck in Las Vegas for maybe 6 to 8 weeks, possibly even 10, for that gas to dissipate and for the retina to hopefully repair itself and reattach to the back of my eye. And the other option is, of course, oil. And oil, would allow me to fly home immediately when it came time for us to go home. And this was over a Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday trip. So a lot happened in a very short amount of time. So the physician, kind of explained to me what would happen. I asked him if I could be asleep for the procedure or if I had to do some kind of twilight. And for this one, they did actually put me under a general anesthesia, and I don't remember anything from the surgery. I remember getting there, getting prepared for surgery, and then waking up, being told to sign a few things, which I was like, I can't see, but sure, put my hand in the general vicinity of where I need to sign this piece of paper, and I will. So they were extremely nice to me. They helped me fill out all of my FMLA forms, and I even talked to my supervisor in Ohio at the time just to let them know what was going on, because I actually didn't know if I was going to come home or not, because it had not been said whether or not we're going to use the gas. So I didn't know if I would be stuck out there or not, and I had tried to work out some plans for somewhere to stay while we were out here, and my partner actually had I believe it was a friend or a friend of her mother's that was out there that, or her dad that was there that could possibly put us up for the time if I would have had the long-acting gas. So the night of me waiting for the surgery to actually happen, we had went back. I had had some food. It was actually, I believe, Panda Express, because I will tell you what, I was not really in the mood to eat when I got home from all of that, but to know that I could not eat, at least until I had my surgery, was like, no, I probably should at least eat something so I'm not starving to death when we get to the actual surgery. So I called my husband and told him, everything that was going on. And that evening, he read me a chapter out of a book that we had been reading at home, so I could go to sleep, which, woo, I went to sleep a lot faster than I thought I would. And yeah, I don't know what it was, but I was like, okay, I just need to get to tomorrow. And, for that to be over. Sorry, guys. It's just been really hard to deal with all this again recently, and it makes me emotional. But I want to get it out there because people should know. I don't want people to have to go through what I did if we can avoid it. So, surgery came, and we met the nicest gay couple when we were there. Apparently, they were eavesdropping on our conversation. And they really helped my partner and my friend understand what was going on. And they said, I wouldn't want to be with any other doctor than Dr. Holly Field. So you're in good hands. And I remember being wheeled back, and I just said, please take good care of me. I thank you all for helping me save my sight. I would like to also say that on the day of my surgery, at the hospital after we had gotten there, my mother showed up all the way from Ohio. She had caught a flight, from Columbus to Las Vegas and showed up before I went back to have my surgery, which I loved seeing my mom prior to going into surgery because, yes, I was terrified, at about what was going to happen to me. And having my mom there, to support me while I still tried to let the girls go out and attain the goals of the trip that we had first set out, which was meet some new people, go out and have some fun, and just experience the city. I am very sad that I missed out on that, but getting my eye treated was so much more important, and it was so imperative that I had it done. They had told me I could possibly wait until I got home, but that they didn't know if the situation was going to get worse. So I was like, no, I'll go ahead and try to have the surgery done while I'm here so that we can save whatever sight I can since I only have the one eye. I also, in filling out the paperwork, put down that I am a proud African American woman, and that was because I could not see the forms. I am actually as white as white bread can be. So that is something I will never live down from that portion of my time in Vegas. But you know what? To have one good joke come out of all of it and still be able to see is the goal. So for me, I wanted to go through the three types of retinal detachment and sort of say what each was. And so there is a rhizomatogenous retinal detachment, and I probably just butchered the saying of that, so I apologize. Again, I am not a doctor. And this is supposedly the most common type of retinal detachment, and it happens slowly over time, and it's usually where you get a hole or a tear in the retina or a break in the retina, and that lets the vitreous gel, the fluid from the middle of the eye, leak under the retina. And when that liquid settles, the retina pulls away from the layer beneath it, kind of like the way water separates wallpaper off a wall. That's the part that nourishes the retina and keeps it healthy. A posterior vitreous detachment, or PVD, is a common cause of retinal tear, and it's a normal part of aging that causes the vitreous gel to pull away from the retina in places. It's usually harmless and often has no symptoms, but sometimes the gel builds up so much and pulls so hard that it tears the retina. Most people with a retina tear don't end up with a detachment, but if you notice new symptoms like floater spots or flashes of light, this could be happening. You might also have weak vision or see what looks like a curtain or shadow coming from one corner of your eye. Consider seeing an ophthalmologist for emergency care right away. A torn retina can be can lead you to a detachment if you are nearsighted or you have recently had cataract or other eye surgeries. And here is the one that I had. I had a tractional retinal detachment, and this happens when scar tissue or other tissue on the retina pulls it away from the layer underneath, and this can lead to serious vision loss. This type is often found in people with diabetes who have severe diabetic retinopathy or damage to blood vessels in the retina. And I don't have diabetes, but because there was a spot in my eye that I did have scar tissue on, not from past cryopexy to my knowledge, but there was some scar tissue in my eye, so that is more than likely where the tractional retinal detachment began. And then there is also the serious retinal detachment, which is rare, and it's called also an exudative retinal detachment, and it's where fluid collects under the retina, but there is no tear. It can happen in both eyes also. This type of detachment often occurs from eye injury or a complication of a wide range of diseases that can include various inflammatory and kidney diseases, as well as Lyme disease, eye tumors, and severe high blood pressure. Severe high blood pressure is also one of those things that I never really thought would affect my eyes as much as it could. And I now am on medication for my kind of high blood pressure. It's really pre-hypertension, but I still want to make sure that I am being as proactive as possible. As many of us know, there are no ways to stop a retinal detachment from occurring, and there is not anything that we can necessarily do that will make the vision that we have left any better or any worse. It really just depends upon luck and avoiding activities that could also cause damage to our eyes. Right now, I am not allowed to do things like ride a horse, run, ride on carnival rides, and anything that you could think of that could cause any kind of head injury or even a simple slip, trip, or fall could definitely impact my vision, and I could lose it or have to have more eye surgeries. I have already had another surgery to my eye in December of this year to have an oil exchange. I know it's kind of funny, it sounds like a car, but that was to take out the emulsified oil that was currently in my eye and switch it for a cleaner oil, which it does not still get rid of all of the oil that is emulsified in my eye, but it does give me clearer vision, and I did have a new intraocular lens placed also, which helps me see through the oil. It is meant for distance, not really anything else. My vision has pretty much flipped from what it was. My nearsightedness is a lot less now, but in time it could grow worse. Then that's just because the eye is going to go back to what it was previously, almost no matter what I do. And right now, I don't feel like I have had that bad of a time recovering from my vision, but recently I did have an appointment with my cataract surgeon, and I found out how much of my peripheral vision I have lost. And I will say right now that has affected my mental health probably more than anything I have had affected over the past 2 years. And also, I do think Corona has majorly affected how I feel about what I feel comfortable exposing myself to and what I think and fear about my future with my eye. As many people know, a lot of things can come out of a traumatic event like this. And for me, it has been a lot of anxiety and depression. But within the last 6 months, it has been PTSD. And I was recently diagnosed with PTSD by my primary care physician. And I now see a counselor currently about every 2 weeks. And I feel like I am doing okay right now in counseling, but there are a lot of things about my eye that bother me on a daily basis. There isn't a day that I don't think about it or think of consequences of actions that I make during the day or things that I have to go and do for my job, for my family, that could possibly affect my vision. Even for me, things like getting a common cold or pneumonia are terrifying because even though it is a very slight chance that I could have a retinal hemorrhage from coughing too hard, from vomiting, something like that. Or even if I took a fall, the odds of me hitting my head are fairly low, but there are still chances that I could. So it is extremely hard for me to calculate all these things and take those things into consideration when I'm trying to decide is this worth it or not. Also, having dreams of my eye getting injured, of me losing my sight, of me living through the surgery again, it is starting to take a much larger toll on my mental well-being than I thought it would, and that is why I went to my physician and I asked for some help. Recently, It has been bad enough that I asked my work for an accommodation to move my desk or to be moved to a position that possibly is not so patient traffic heavy and that would possibly not lead me to be exposed to many sick patients over time. And essentially, what I got met with so far is that while your request is reasonable, we want proof from your doctor that you are suffering in this manner, and we need to know if it actually puts some kind of physical limitations on what you can do at your job. And even explaining to the associate health and wellness and the accommodations people, saying, I only have one eye. I am wanting to protect that eye because I want to continue to see. Essentially, I have been told that my manager is not willing to accommodate me in this manner and that I am at a fault for my job description when I took up the job that I have. This was a risk that is known to me from the beginning. And while I agree with that, 5 years ago when I took the job, none of this had happened to me, and it hadn't gotten as bad for me mentally, as it was in the past. In the past, I was pretty sure I could handle this, but as the oil emulsifies in my eyes more, and everything just looks like a snow globe most of the time, I just cannot fathom continuing to do the job that I do and to not try to enjoy my sight for as long as I currently have it, and I may have it the rest of my life. I may not. I don't know. No one knows. And that is one of the things that is also very maddening about a retinal detachment is that even though you know there is nothing that you can do to make it better or make it worse, it is still constantly on your mind. And I'm currently about 2 years, 2 years and 3 months out from having my original detachment, and it is still something I think of daily, something that I consider in almost every life move that I make for applying for new jobs, for trying to see if there is now an option to work from home, which there does not seem like there is. So right now I am actually just trying to take some time and work on my mental health, and I don't think it's anything necessarily that I will ever get over. This is always going to be something that will bother me on an almost daily basis, but I need to learn how to live my life the way that I want to. But the sad part is that I still have to pay my bills. And, everybody has to deal with things like that. Being an adult sucks. And knowing that I am not in a very supportive work environment currently is, it just makes me depressed. And I'm trying to see if I can improve that. But we will see. So, I would like to thank everybody for joining me today on Preemies All Grown Up. I really appreciate you guys who have been here listening from the beginning, and I welcome everybody that's new. I also encourage you, please leave me a voice message or message me on Anchor or reach out to me on my email, preemiesallgrownup, all one word, all lowercase, @gmail.com. I would love to hear from some other people who have either had some retinal issues or Anything you guys want to talk about. I'm definitely here to help support everybody's positive mental health and look towards the future with some sort of hope, whatever it may be. Have a great day, guys.